1 Corinthians chapter 11, we read the text. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we read the text, verse 23 through verse 32. This is about the Lord's Supper, which we've just now been able to have together, to enjoy together. But did you notice in verse 24, Paul wrote this, when he, speaking of Jesus Christ, had given thanks, he break it, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. You see it? This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. When you go back and you read the gospel accounts of the Lord's Supper, you see what's taking place when the Lord is with his disciples. Judas Iscariot is there, and he goes through and does what we're remembering today. You don't find a reference to Jesus Christ saying that his body was broken. Look at 24 again. He says, this is my body which is broken for you. You don't see anywhere where Jesus Christ said anything about his body being broken. In Matthew 26, he says, take, eat, this is my body. In Mark 14, take, eat, this is my body. Luke 22, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Nowhere does he refer to his body being broken for them. However, the context of each of these verses says that he took bread and broke it. He broke the bread, but his body wasn't broken. And we know from the scripture that Jesus Christ is our Passover. Don't lose your place here, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, notice what the Lord says here. Now, there's a problem with sin in the church that Paul is writing about in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The church is puffed up about it. Paul said they shouldn't be. They ought to deal with the guy that was committing this sin. And in this case, get him out of the church. Verse 6, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. You see, the night that the Lord Jesus Christ had what we now call, well, the Last Supper then and what we call the Lord's Supper now, that was during the day of the Passover, okay? And then he was crucified and actually died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Passover, the same time that the lamb would be slain in the Passover memorial. And the same time the lamb would have been slain in the first Passover. So Christ is our Passover. But notice there's a reference here to some leaven. There's a reference here to a lump. There's reference here to bread as well. When Jesus Christ was introduced to Israel by John the Baptist, he didn't say, behold, the bread of life. What did he say? Behold, the Lamb of God. So Jesus Christ is the Lamb that was slain, right? All right? So we can go back to the Passover in Exodus chapter 12 and learn something about what happened to that lamb. Because Jesus never mentioned anything about his body being broken. Look with me in Exodus chapter 12. So you've seen it in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You don't have to keep that. I've already read the pertinent part of that passage. I do want you to keep 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and go back to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. There's something very important about that lamb that was sacrificed, whose blood was shed So that when the angel came through there and started killing the firstborn, wouldn't kill the firstborn of anybody in Israel, when the blood of that lamb that had been shed was put on the doorpost and on the lintel above the door, right? You remember that. But what about that lamb? Exodus chapter 12 is all about that first Passover. And in verse 46, the Bible says, "In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth out of the flesh abroad out of the houses. Watch it. Neither shall ye break a bone thereof." The body of that lamb, though no bone in that body was to be broken in Exodus chapter 12 at this first Passover. So, we're going to look again at Exodus chapter 12 if you want to just put your pen there or something. When Jesus Christ was crucified and it was time to take those bodies down from the cross, and the two thieves that were crucified with him had not yet died, what were the instructions to the soldiers? Go by and break their legs. So they broke the leg of the one on the left, broke the legs of the one on the right. And this, if you don't know what that's about, when a person is crucified, hands are pierced and nailed to the cross member, feet are pierced and nailed to the upright, they have to raise themselves up because their hands are outstretched above them. They have to raise themselves up to be able to get air into the lungs and breathe. When they break the legs, now they're hanging there, and now they can't get the expansion of the chest to be able to draw a breath, and they're going to die. And that's exactly what happened. But what happened when they came to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? They found out something. He's already dead. And so that's when his side was pierced by that soldier, and out came blood and water. And John 19 says this, "For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken." And so there was no bone in his body that was broken. So why does Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 24, that he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me"? That's a curiosity. That's a curiosity. Obviously, there's an answer or we wouldn't be talking about it tonight. Yeah, there's at least four reasons why Paul makes that statement. And the first is that in the Lord's Supper, what we've done tonight, we show the Lord's death. We show the Lord's death till he come. You're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says in verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Now listen, did he not say at the end of verse 24, "This do in remembrance of me," and in the end of verse 25, "in remembrance of me"? When something is done in remembrance of something, it is a memorial. It is not a sacrifice. I grew up in the Catholic Church, and some of you did as well. You might have grown up in a church that handled this similarly, but at that point, that time of communion was called an offering. It is called an offering. It is called a sacrifice. The sacrifice has already been done. It only had to be done one time, once and for all, forever. So we don't do another sacrifice. This was not a sacrifice tonight. This was a memorial in remembrance, it says, of the Lord. And you do show the Lord's death till he come. And how do you do that? You do it with bread. The bread tonight that we all took from one loaf was unleavened bread. Didn't have leaven in it. And you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that Jesus Christ is our Passover and that there was to be no leaven in the lump. That's Paul was saying, we have this sin going on in the church that is affecting the whole church. We've got to get this leaven out of the church or else other people are going to commit the same sin and we're going to destroy the church. Get that out. Because the Passover was offered with unleavened bread, and Jesus Christ is our Passover. He said, purge out therefore the old leaven that you may be a new lump as you're unleavened. So, when we have a memorial and do this, the eating of the bread, the drinking of the cup, in remembrance of the Lord, we eat from that one bread. You're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And look with me in verse 16 and 17. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many, I don't know how many there are of us here tonight, but there are many. For we being many are one bread. Do you see it? One bread and what? One body. For we are all partakers of that, help me, one bread. In order for all of us who are here to be able to eat of that one bread, that bread has to be broken. And when Paul said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, it is a reference to us as the body of Christ and to us as that one bread which has to be broken for us to be able to partake. And that's what you did tonight. And so, what he said is correct. But that's not all. He said it again in verse 16, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of what? The body of Christ. Okay? The second thing, here's the second reason why he says, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. In the Lord's Supper, not only do we show his death as a memorial till he come, but we also show, listen, our communion. As you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17, our communion together is in what? The body of Christ. The body of Christ. When you got saved, you didn't know this, unless you knew the scripture before you got saved. You didn't know this, but you were baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. You know it now because we've talked about it many times. So here's this body of Christ, which is now literally seated in heaven in heavenly places, seated next to the throne of God Almighty. And when you were saved, the Holy Spirit puts you literally into that body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, some are eyes and some are ears and some nose and you know, fingers and hands and feet and all that stuff. And we're all in that body, baptized into the body of Christ. We are all members of his body. And you look up here and you see me, or you look at yourself in the mirror and you see fingernails and you see knuckles and you see fingers and thumbs and ears and eyelashes and eyebrows and hair, some of us. Feet and toes and ankles and bones and all that stuff. You have many members. And your body is an example, the human body is an example of the body of Christ, which has many members. So Paul the Apostle said there in verse 16 again of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the, what's the next word? Communion of the blood of Christ, the bread which we break. Is it not the communion of the body of Christ? When I grew up, we used to talk about going to communion. When we do the remembrance here, we call it the Lord's Supper, but in fact it is communion. But for those of us who were in a church where this was celebrated every Sunday, we don't call it communion because you get the idea that the communion is the thing we just did, when in fact the communion is we. We are the communion of those that are in the body of Christ. We being many are how many bread? One bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. So by breaking the bread out of a common loaf, we show that we are all together in that one body. Go back to Exodus chapter 12. I'd mentioned to you to keep your place there. Go back to Exodus chapter 12. It's interesting how all this wording takes place, but that sacrifice of the lamb was for the whole congregation. Look at verse 6, Exodus chapter 12, verse 6. And ye shall keep it up, that's the lamb. Ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. That's the day of the Passover. You shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. You see, in order for everybody to be able to have one, there's got to be more than one lamb. But it's interesting that he says, kill it, because Jesus Christ was the sacrifice for the whole congregation. But the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. The Passover was for that whole assembly, and the Lord's Supper is for the communion of the saints together in Christ. So that's why we have the bread, and that's why we break the bread, because it demonstrates when it is a common loaf, it is our communion. All right? Here's the third thing. In the Lord's Supper, not only do we show his death till he come, and not only do we show our communion together, but we also show our separation from the world. Our separation from the world. Look again in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 at verse 20 and 21. Paul said, I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. Don't you know that that would be a very hard thing for people who went to communion today to swallow? If when they went to communion, they were trying to get to God by what they ate. Right? You got to be already saved for this thing we're doing to have significance in a memorial like we've celebrated today. But to think by going to church and eating that communion, somehow or another, you are eating eternal life. You know what the Lord says? When they sacrifice that, that's a sacrifice to devils. Would that not be a shock? But that's the Bible. He says, the things which Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Well, people that have a cup and bread for communion they're in churches. And he said, you can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Can you imagine such a thing? You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils? Can you imagine such a thing? Well, people would look at that and say, no, that's not what we're doing at all. If you're doing that to get saved, that's not God. If you're already saved and doing this as a memorial of what he's done for you, and you're drinking the cup and eating the bread worthily, all right, that's what we're doing tonight. That's what this is about. So when I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church, we went to Mass, and the Mass counted if you were there for that, what they call the Eucharist, that period of time that we call communion. Did you go to communion today? You know. So we had to be there for that. And you may not know this, but during that whole religious ritual, the priest is blessing that bread, blessing that wine, doing all the things that are involved in preparing this offering as a sacrifice. He does all that, and at some point in the Mass, he takes and holds up a wafer, the host, that's about as big as the circle I'm making with my fingers, bigger than what they're giving to the congregants who come forward to take communion, they call it. He holds that thing up, and the people bow down, standing, bow their head, and say about that piece of bread, "My Lord and my God." Now listen, who said that, "My Lord and my God"? Who said that? Whose are those words? Those are the words of whom? Not Peter, they're Thomas. Remember Thomas said, "I'm not going to believe. You guys are talking about him being resurrected. I don't believe that." Doubting Thomas, we call him. "I won't believe unless I can put my fingers in the holes of his hands, in the holes of his feet, and thrust my hand into the side." Remember that? So Jesus shows up and he speaks directly to Thomas. And Thomas realizes now that he is talking to the risen Savior. And he says before the Lord Jesus Christ, "My Lord and my God." That is true. But to say that to a piece of bread that's being held up in a church service, that's not of God. You understand that? You understand that? I will tell you, for those of you who've never experienced what I just described, once then that blessing is done and it's time now for the people to come forward to receive communion. Again, what it's called communion, what you're doing, not what we are. And the priest is there to give that out. When you receive that, either in your hand and put it in your mouth or receive it on your tongue by the priest and go back to your seat, you'll notice that the faces of the people are very pious at that time. There's something of an aura associated with that for those of you who have done this before. You take your seat. There is a feeling like you have done something very right with God. And that's why it's so difficult for people who have grown up in a church like that, like I did, to then suddenly not be at church and take communion. To be at church and not have the sense of that feeling. I'm going to tell you, knowing what I know today and what I'm teaching you today, there is no way that I could ever take communion in a Catholic church again. Can never do it. Because I know what it is. And Paul said, "I would not that you should have fellowship with devils." I couldn't do it. But I can do what we did tonight because I know that it is a remembrance and I know that the communion is who we are and not what the episode is. That is what we now call the Lord's Supper. So the night that Israel observed the Feast of Unleavened Bread, how were they dressed? They were ready to travel. Have your loins girt about, ready to travel. And they had that Passover, and what were they going to do? What did they do? They left town. They got out. They separated. They separated from Egypt. You know what Egypt is in the Bible? It's a type of? Egypt is a type of the world. And when you and I come together in this very solemn memorial of what Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary, we are separating from what we were before, what we did before, and from the world around us that does not appreciate what Jesus Christ did for them and have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You're unique in the world as the body of Christ. And that is, that uniqueness is profoundly demonstrated when we come together to have the Lord's Supper. We're Christ's body. We're that one bread. We are in communion with each other. That's a tremendous thing. So that's the third reason. And then there's one more. I'll give you a fourth reason. You might think of more, but in this, in the Lord's Supper, listen, we show our desire in the Lord's Supper, we show our desire to add more people to the body, to add more people to the church. We really do. This is not so exclusive. This, like, oh boy, we got this and nobody else, you know, nobody else, you're excluded. No, this, we don't have a sign on the door that said, this is our club, keep out, like, you know, we did when we built clubs as kids. No, this is our body, and we want you to be a part. We want you to have this salvation in Jesus Christ. We want you to have communion with us. We want you to be able to separate from the world as well. No matter what, after the memorial of the Lord by the breaking of bread, no matter what, there is always some bread left over. When Jesus Christ fed the 5,000, there were 12 baskets of fragments that were left. When he fed the 4,000, there were 7 baskets of fragments left. And when we celebrated the Lord's Supper tonight in this memorial, there are fragments left over. What for? Well, the 12 baskets were for people on the other side when the disciples got in that boat and went to the other side. That was for the people over there that needed something to eat. And when those 7 baskets were left after the feeding of the 4,000, that was for some of the people that weren't there that night. And you know what this right here in my hand is? That's for the people who weren't here but ought to be here by getting saved and becoming part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's what the Lord has given us. That's what we see in the memorial of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have celebrated tonight. You know, in Exodus chapter 12, let's go back there. There's an interesting statement that confirms something I just said. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 3, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Okay? And verse 4, if the household be too little for the lamb, so there's more lamb than there are people in the house, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. So what's he supposed to do? I got a lamb here and only got 5 of us in the house, but my neighbor has 5 in his house. So you come to my house, right? Because we got more than we need here, and this lamb will count for us. You know what he did? He brought the neighbor in to be covered by the blood of that shed lamb. You know what we do? We bring our neighbor in to the communion of the body of Christ, to the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they too can have communion with us as that one bread and that one body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it signifies that we're not keeping all of this to ourselves. It's kind of interesting when I mentioned to you about churches and they have communion on every Sunday and that becomes part of what they need to do in order to have eternal life. You know what I've learned about those? They're exclusive. We're the ones that are right and everybody else is wrong. It's what you hear being said. And may I tell you, we're not exclusive in this sense that we don't want you to be a part of what Jesus Christ did for you. The door is open for many more to become part of the body of Christ and part of the local church as they are united by the Lord Jesus Christ into our fellowship. So as I think about where we are right now in this particular service, many of you have invited people to come next Sunday to Friend Day to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what my strong desire is, I know your strong desire is, and what our prayer should be, oh God, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, shed his blood as the Passover lamb to save their souls. God, please help us to do what's necessary to make sure they get here. God, please help our pastor to be able to preach just the words they need to hear in order for the Holy Spirit to bring them to that reproof of their own sin, the judgment they're facing, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that they might be saved and become part of your body and become part of what you've given to us here. That's a tremendous thing. As I thought about us preparing for that occasion next week and having the Lord's Supper today, I really just thought about us having the Lord's Supper because it's so great, so necessary for the Holy Spirit to work among us freely, for us to be in unity. And I couldn't think of a better way for us to be prepared for that than to be in communion as one bread and one body. But then looking at the significance of what we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, and the breaking of that bread, I realize with all this left over, there's room for more. And we want to see them come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And partake of what we've enjoyed tonight. Oh, let's be diligent this week to pray for them, to make sure that we invite them, to follow up with them, to make sure they're here. I would love to see them get saved and be a part of what Jesus Christ has done for them. Father, thank you tonight for your explanation and your scripture about the very thing that we've enjoyed tonight and how significant it is. We ask you, please, in Jesus' name, fill us with your Holy Spirit, to be diligent, Father, to remember what you've done for us till you come, to enjoy the communion that we have together here, and to not be negligent of those who do not yet know you, for we ask you to do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.